It's me again, Hank the Cow Dog. When you've been on the side of law and order as long as I have, it's hard to get used to being a fugitive and an outcast. But that's by George what happened in June of whatever year that was when it happened. Last year, I suppose you could say, but it definitely happened. I'll take first things first and one thing at a time because I've found, over my years in security work, that it just doesn't pay to do it any other way. This job pays little enough under the best of circumstances, and how did I get on the subject of pay? It's an important subject, but it seems to me that I had something else on my mind. I'll get it here in a minute. Weather's been nice, hasn't it? Had a little shower the other morning. What the heck was I talking about? Really burns me up when I... Oh, yeah. The fugitive and outcast business. Okay, here we go. This may turn out to be one of my more exciting stories, so hang on. It started out as a normal day in June. I had been out on a routine patrol most of the night, checking things out, making sure my ranch was secure from coyotes, coons, skunks, badgers, and the many species of monsters we have around here. At daylight, everything checked out, so I went down to the sewer and freshened up and made my way to the gas tanks, where I had every intention of keeping a date with my gunny sack bed. Drover was over there, as you might have guessed, wheezing and twitching in his bed. He heard me pawing at my gunny sack and opened one eye. His eyeball went around in circles. You should have someone look at that eye, Drover. There's something wrong with it.
That's gonna Mergle Skiffer.
Maybe so, but that doesn't alter the fact that it goes around in circles. And speaking of circles, did you make your patrol? I'll need a full report on conditions in the eastern quadrant of headquarters. Might as well get it over with now before I go off duty.
Larkin, Tonsil, Skiffer, Mergle, Skuggling, Pork Chops.
How can you be sure of that? Did you check it out yourself, or is this just hearsay?
Humlum, Morgan, Riskiffering, Sardines.
And you're positive about that? His other eye slid open and he stared at me for a moment.
Where am I?
That depends on your location, Drover. Once you get that settled, the rest of it will fall into place. Where were you the last time you remembered?
I don't remember.
I flopped down on my gunny sack and released my grip on the world. That's one of your problems, son. You need to work on developing your memory. Memory is very crucial to success in the security business. Try it again, and this time, concentrate.
Okay. What am I concentrating on?
You're concentrating on trying to remember.
Oh, remembering what?
Remembering where you were the last time you were somewhere.
Boy, that's a tough one.
Yes, but I don't need to remind you that you could use a little toughening up. Go ahead and scuffle with it. When you come up with an answer, wake me up.
You going to sleep?
Not entirely. Although it may appear that I'm falling as... Merle Skiffer.
Oh, good. It sure gets boring around here when I have to think and remember. Now, let's see. Where was I the last time I was somewhere?
Lurking tonsils, Skiffer Merling time, pork chops.
No, I don't think so, because... That would have made it Saturday, and that was the day all the clouds went over, wasn't it? Clouds sure are pretty.
I'm no mark and risk giving sardines.
Sometimes I wish I could be a cloud. Wouldn't that be fun? Just go around all day and take naps and Mergle Skiffer.
Mum lum hush.
Mum hush and mark and skiffer.
I must admit that some of this conversation didn't make sense to me, for you see, Drover fell asleep. Another thing that didn't make sense was that suddenly I heard the jingling of distant bells. My ears shot up and I leaped to my feet. Wait a minute, pork chops don't sound like that. Wake up, Drover, I think I've got it. His eyelids popped open, revealing two crossed eyes behind him.
Clouds ride chicken bone motorcycles, what?
I said, wake up. I think I've got it. It's all coming clear now. If the bells are jingling, this must be Christmas. He staggered to his feet and walked around in a circle.
Oh, my gosh. Do they bite?
What?
Where am I?
How should I know where you are? And what difference does it make? point is that there's something very strange going on here, and it's our job to sound the alarm. So don't just bark there. Stand.
Oh, okay.
The little dunce just stood there. Are you gonna bark or not?
Well, you said stand here. I think that's what you said.
It's time for you to stop thinking, Drover, and trust your cowdog instincts, even though you're not a cowdog. There's a time to stand up for what you believe in, and there's a time to think. But this is the time to bark your little heart out.
Oh, okay.
Because something very strange is going on around here. He rolled his eyes around.
What is it?
I don't remember what it is, but that's neither here nor there. Bark, Drover. That's the important thing right now. And that's just what we did. We gave whatever it was a good old-fashioned barking. I with my deep masculine roar, and Drover adding his
yip, yip, yip.
We must have barked for a solid minute. At the end of that time, my head had begun to clear. Wait a minute. Hold on, Drover. What are we barking at?
I don't know. I asked you that a while ago, and you said...
Never mind what I said. It's foolish for us to waste our reserves if we don't know what we're barking at. Let me think. Yes, it's coming back to me now. I heard bells, Drover. The jingling of bells. And I guess you know what that means.
No, I don't think I do.
Good, because I don't either. But that's the whole point. If we heard bells jingling and can't define the source, then what we have here is a case of the jingling bells.
Oh, my gosh!
Yes, indeed. Now listen very carefully. He was staring up at the sky. Are you listening very carefully?
What? No, I was looking at the clouds. There sure are a lot of clouds this morning.
Never mind the clouds. Pay attention. In 30 seconds, we will proceed to Checkpoint Charlie. I'll go first. You guard the flanks and the rear. We're going to find out who or whom has been jingling the bells. And I don't need to tell you that this could get us into some combat. You ready?
I guess.
All right. Form a line, pick up your feet, and let's move out. We went streaking towards the saddle shed, the point from which the jingling bells had come from which. I took the lead, and Drover brought up the rear. By this time, it had become clear to me that both Drover and I had fallen asleep beneath the gas tanks, and that this probe of the enemy's position had grown out of a fairly incoherent conversation. Nevertheless, it had to be checked out. Sometimes your best leads in this business come from strange sources. A good cow dog will check them all out. It's just part of the job. We went crashing through some tall weeds, and by the time we reached the point adjacent to the point at which the garden lay adjacent to the saddle shed, I heard the bells again. And this time, I couldn't dismiss it as a mere dream or a product of Drover's shriveled intelligence. Yes, indeed, we had bells on the ranch. I hadn't cleared anyone to jingle bells on my ranch, and I was fixing to pull rank and give somebody a rude surprise. All right, Drover, let's initiate barking mode one. Ready? Bark! Fellers, we bark. Maybe I don't need to point out how difficult it is to go into barking mode one while running at top speed, but it's a pretty nifty trick that requires concentration and a good deal of raw athletic ability. When I saw the saddle shed door hanging open, I knew we had ourselves a live one. Something or someone had broken in there, without clearance, I might add, and we had caught the culprits in an unauthorized entry. As you might have guessed, I don't allow unauthorized entries on my outfit. In other words, they had made a very serious miscalculation and had walked right into my trap. For you see, there was only one door into the saddle shed, which means there was only one door out. We had them cornered. All right, Drover, we'll take up positions in front of the door and initiate barking mode two. When they come out, give them the full load. I'll go for the first one, and you take the second one.
What if there's three?
If there's three, Drover, we'll play it by ear. Ready? Bark! We sent up an amazing barrage of barking. Just by George, fractured the silence of morning with alarms and threatening sounds. Even though we had the situation pretty well under control, It wouldn't have made me mad if High Loper had come rushing down from the house with his gun. Well, we were in the midst of our parking procedure when all of a sudden, a two-legged, human-type monster leaped out of the door. He had two clawed hands and a ferocious expression on his face. And yes, he made a terrible sound.
Yee-haw!
The hair shot up on the back of my neck, and my deep roar of a bark suddenly turned into a squeak. And you might say that I plowed little Drover under, trying to get out of the way of that monster. Thought I would give a little ground, see, and then establish another. Let me say here that the cowboys on this outfit have a twisted sense of humor. And sometimes I get the feeling that they don't take my job as seriously. Okay, maybe it was Slim. Maybe the jingling bells had actually been his spurs. Maybe he was trying to be funny, jumping out of the door with his claws out. But the point is that nobody had cleared... Never mind. Oh, he got a big chuckle out of that, Slim did. Just laughed and howled and held his sides and fell on the ground. I didn't think it was so funny myself.
Did you think I was gonna get you, Hanky? You better be more careful what you bark at.
He went back into the saddle shed, chuckling to himself. It's always a little shocking to realize how childish these cowboys can be. Well, it took me a whole minute to get the hair to lay back down on my neck, and then I looked around for Drover. He had disappeared. I went looking for him, figured he might have highballed it up to the machine shed, but I found him hiding behind one of them big Chinese elms just east of the garden. I could see his eyes peeking around the trunk. You can come out now, Drover.
What was that thing?
Just Slim trying to be funny.
Oh, sure didn't look like Slim to me.
First impressions are often wrong, Drover. You must learn to probe deeper and look for the forest instead of the trees. Drover stared at me and twisted his head.
I thought you said it was Slim.
I did say it was Slim.
Oh, I thought that's what you said, but then you said he was a tree.
No, you weren't paying attention. How could Slim be a tree?
I don't know. I didn't think he looked much like a tree. He didn't have enough bark.
He didn't bark at all, Drover. We barked at him.
Yeah, I know, but he didn't have enough bark to be a tree.
Of course he didn't, you dunce, because trees don't bark. Now stop wasting my time and... All at once, I heard a pickup coming down the road from the mailbox. Wait a minute. What is this?
I think it's a tree.
No, coming down the road.
Oh, gosh, it looks like a pickup to me.
Indeed, it is a pickup. Pulling a green stock trailer. The question is, what is it doing on my ranch?
Beats me, but I wonder what it's doing here.
Good question, Drover. And we're fixing to find some answers. Come on! We went streaking towards the unidentified pickup and barked it all the way down to the corrals. Just as I was about to sniff out the tires and mark them for future reference, another pickup came rolling in. And another. I called a Drover, and we went rushing out to meet the trespassers. Gave each one of them as much of a barking as we could manage under the circumstances. Something very strange was going on here, and I needed to find out what it was. I picked up some clues right away. All three of the pickups were pulling stock trailers. All three stock trailers had four wheels. Two were green, and one was brown. No pattern there, but I noticed it anyway. And finally, inside each of the trailers was a horse. Not the same horse, you see, but three different horses. And all three horses were saddled. The drivers got out, and two of them stretched their arms. I recognized two out of the three suspects. One was named Baxter, the other was Billy. Both lived on ranches down the creek, which means that they were our neighbors. I didn't recognize the third man. Oh, and they were all wearing spurs and chaps. That was kind of revealing, too. When the neighbors come prowling around in shirts and spats, spurs and chaps, that is, it usually indicates that some type of work is planned for the day. I called my assistant over for a conference. Drover, circulate around, sniff things out, keep your ears open. Something's going on around here.
I thought so.
I glared at the runt. Maybe you thought so, but I thought so first. Don't forget who's in charge around here.
Oh, okay.
Now get going. I'll expect a full report.
Okay, Hanky, here I go.
And off he went. I had my doubts that he would turn up any good leads, but when you're short-handed, you have to use whatever warm bodies happen to be available. Grover was what you would call your basic warm body. I skipped around the pickups and trailers and checked things out, marked a few tires, kept my eyes and ears open, continued gathering data and amassing clues. When High Loper came down from the house wearing his summer leggings and Big Ralph spurs, I had enough evidence to come up with a working hypotenuse. Hypotenuse, hypodermicus, hydrolysis, what is that dadgum word? Hippopotamus. I had turned up enough evidence to form a working hippopotamus. Without consulting me, the cowboys had decided to round up and brand one of the pastures. Furthermore, they had invited strangers to come on the ranch to help with the work. Again, without consulting me. Well, this discovery really burned me up. I mean, running a ranch is hard enough under the best of circumstances, but when your own people start slipping around and making plans behind your back, it's really tough. But never mind, that's just part of the job. I was in the process of sniffing tires and sifting clues when I heard a voice coming from the pickup above me.
Well, hello there, big boy. Imagine meeting you here.
I froze. Hadn't I heard that sultry voice before? Hadn't I experienced that sudden increase in heart rate and blood pressure that I now felt? The answer was yes, I had. And it had been caused by a certain gorgeous beagle dog named Miss Scamper. I lifted my eyes and saw her head protruding over the side of the pickup bed. Description: lovely brown eyes with big lashes, long beagle ears, a freckled nose, a very exciting pair of jowls. Even though my deepest heart of hearts belonged to my one and only true love, Miss Beulah the Collie, mercy. Furthermore, the last time Beulah and I had met, she had snubbed me for a worthless stick-tailed spotted bird dog named Plato, and I hadn't forgotten that snub or quite forgiven her for choosing a bird dog over a cow dog, and mercy. Well, blow me down. I believe I've just stumbled upon one of the seven wonders of the world.
You could be right, but I didn't know there were six others.
I may have miscounted, Miss Scamper. What's a nice place like you doing in a dog like this?
I just came along for the ride. Thought I might see some different scenery.
Well, I don't know how the scenery looks to you, ma'am, but from down here, it's just pretty awesome.
This must be your lucky day.
Indeed it is, Miss Scamper, which brings to mind a poem. Roses are red, the gas tanks are gray. Holy tamales, it's my lucky day.
Not bad for a big old hunk of dog like you.
Would you like to hear another one?
Ooh, I'm not sure I can stand it, but let's give it a try.
All right, hang on, here we go. Roses are red, but your face is incredible. I'd gobble you up if I thought you were edible. She rolled her eyes.
I'm so impressed with your poetry.
Hey, that's only the beginning. Can you stand another one?
Just one more. I'll try not to faint.
Fair enough. Here we go. Roses will readily stab you with thorns, but this ache in my heart ain't caused by a rose bush. The smile faded from her lips.
I think you missed on that one, big boy. It didn't exactly rhyme.
Well, no, but that was a modern poem. They're not supposed to rhyme.
I see. You have an answer to every little question, don't you?
Yes, ma'am. I not only have answers to every little question, but I have answers to several big ones. Furthermore, I have answers to questions that haven't even been asked yet.
How interesting.
And speaking of questions, what do you have planned for the next 30 years? I gave her a wink, and she gave me one back.
I'll, I'll have to look at my calendar and, ooh, what do we have here?
Her eyes seemed to be looking past me. I turned my head and found myself peering into the face of a dog I'd never seen before. Didn't know and didn't particularly want to know. Description: black and white, long hair, long nose, medium height and build. Pretty good confirmation. In some ways, he resembled your border collie, a breed of dogs known for their ability to herd sheep. On closer inspection, I began to suspect that he not only bore some faint resemblance to the border collie, but that he was a border collie, possibly one with papers and hot rod breeding. How could I have known all that in such a short span of time? Good question. The answer lies in my remarkable powers of concentration and a certain sixth sense I have about bloodlines. I mean, I can just by George look at a dog and pretty much tell you where he came from. This one not only had the markings of a low-class sheepdog, but he also grinned all the time. Always grinning, that's a border collie. It comes from the fact that they go around with their mouths open and their tongues hanging out to one side. Try that yourself and see if it doesn't make you grin. Let me pause here to point out that I've never had much use for dogs that fool with sheep. Nor have I ever trusted a dog that went around grinning all the time. And furthermore, I didn't care for the way Miss Scamper was making eyes at this one. I had a feeling that me and this sheep herder weren't gonna become bosom pals anytime soon. I glared at the stranger, and he grinned back at me. Then he spoke.
Good morning, sport. Perfect day for a roundup, wouldn't you say?
I don't know as I'd say that at all. I've only seen a small part of this day, and he wasn't listening.
And what have we here?
He looked at Miss Scamper with glittering eyes.
My, my. I don't think we've met, have we?
Miss Scamper fluttered her eyelashes.
Not yet, but I have a feeling that that could change at any moment.
Indeed it could. You're very perceptive, Miss...
Scamper.
Miss Scamper. What a lovely name, my goodness. There's poetry in it and music, and my goodness, aren't you a pretty little thing?
That's what I've heard, and from some very reliable sources. And what might your name be, if I might be so brazen as to ask?
Benny the cow dog, my good lady.
Don't jump to any hasty conclusions about the good lady business. And I'm so, so happy to meet you.
My goodness.
The mutt turned to me and winked as though we were the very best of friends, which we weren't.
This one could turn out to be a real bombshell. Are you the father?
No.
She's a doll, Pops. You ought to be proud of her.
I am proud of her.
That's what I like to hear, a father who's proud of his girl. That's really touching, Pops. It's okay.
I moved closer and gave him a withering glare. My name isn't Pops. I'm not her father. You're butting into my conversation, and you're on my ranch.
Oh? Are you the yard dog or what?
I'm Hank the cow dog, head of ranch security. For the first time, he stopped grinning. He stared at me and then burst out laughing. Did I say something funny? He looked up at Miss Scamper.
Did he say he was a cow dog?
She nodded and turned back to me.
Did you say a cow dog or plow dog?
I said cow dog, and that's what I meant. And before you get into any more trouble, I'll need to check your identification.
Identification, yes, we have that, we sure do. Shall I start with my dam or my sire? Both grand champions. Grandfather swept the Fort Worth show 4 years in a row. Mom and Dad practically owned the Abilene Stock Dog Trials. I mean, it was almost embarrassing. And my brothers...
That's probably enough. What you're trying to tell us is that you're pretty hot stuff.
I'm not sure I would have put it in those exact words, but yes. When you consider the breeding, the training, the contests, the winnings, Well, most dogs find it overwhelming and more than a little intimidating.
That so?
Yes, we found that to be the case most of the time.
He cast a leering eye at Miss Scamper.
What do you say, sweetness?
Well, I think I'm about to be overwhelmed and intimidated.
Benny turned back to me and shrugged.
We see this all the time.
Well, it's a shame you can't stay longer.
Oh, I'm going to stay longer. I'm here for a demonstration with the cattle. I'm told it could turn into a permanent job.
It could turn out to be a permanent injury. I take care of the cattle work on this outfit.
I don't know quite how to put this, but apparently someone thinks this ranch needs a good stock dog.
I moved a step closer. My patience was wearing thin. Apparently someone was wrong. Get back in your pickup and wait for further orders.
Sorry, old sport, but I take my orders from higher authorities.
There's a time for talk, and there's a time for action. It was time to teach this dog a few lessons about higher authorities. I bristled up and made a dive at him. You might say that I missed.
You're a little clumsy with that move, sport. I could give you a few pointers on your technique.
I made another dive at him and missed again. He was quicker than you might have thought.
You're about half a step behind, it seems to me.
We glared at each other. Or put it this way, I glared at him and he grinned at me, while I tried to think of something clever to say that might explain why I had missed him twice in a row. But just then, Drover came rushing up.
Hank, I found out what's going on. It's Roundup Day. They're having a roundup right here on the ranch, and that's why all these pickups pulled in.
Very good, Drover. Did you figure that out yourself?
Yes. Well, no, I heard Slim talking about it. And did you know there's a famous dog here, too? He's a champion cow dog, and he's won contests and everything, and...
It was then that Drover saw the stranger.
Oh, my gosh, I bet that's him.
Benny grinned and dipped his head.
I've been discovered, it seems.
Drover began groveling and turning in circles.
I've never met a famous dog before. Boy, this is so exciting. I just don't know what to say.
Drover, when you have nothing to say, one of your alternatives is to keep your trap shut. That way, nobody will ever know how little they missed.
I know that's what I ought to do, but he's famous and... Oh, my gosh.
It was then that Drover saw Miss Scamper. And that finished him off. He rolled over on his back and started kicking his legs in the air. Benny walked over for a closer look.
It seems the fellow's had an attack of some sort.
Get up, Drover. You're making a spectacle of yourself, and what's more important, you're making me look bad.
I'd say so, yes. It gives a bad impression of the ranch.
Drover opened his eyes and blinked him.
Where am I?
Just where you were before you made a fool of yourself.
Hank, will you deliver an important message for me?
What message, and to who or whom?
Tell Miss Scamper that I think I love her.
Miss Scamper heard the message and arched one brow.
My goodness, that makes three in a row. This could turn out to be one of my better days.
Get up, Drover, and stop talking nonsense. This is Roundup Day, and we've got work to do.
Well, not really. I'll be in charge of the roundup, and I doubt that we'll need any help.
I turned away from Drover and gave our uninvited guest some fangs. Let's get something straight, partner. My ranch, my roundup. If you want to tag along and see how we do things on this outfit, okay. But keep your opinions to yourself. I was all set to clean house on that guy once and for all. I mean, patience is a virtue only up to a point. And then it's time to start busting heads. But just then, I heard Highloper call my name. I turned to Mr. Smarty and gave him a smirk. There, you see whose name they're calling? You'll find that when the chips are down, they're very seldom up. And good management calls in the first string.
Really? Well, we'll see, I suppose.
I suppose we will. And we'll just see whose cow ate the cabbage.
I don't follow that.
It's just as well that you don't, because you're going to stay right here while I go up and get my orders for this roundup. Drover, on your feet and prepare to move out. I'll be right back with our assignments. The little mutt staggered to his feet.
Maybe I'd better stay here and guard Miss Scamper's pickup, cause my leg...
Never mind your leg. It's your so-called brain that I'm worried about. Don't say anything stupid until I get back.
Oh, okay.
And with that, I gave Miss Scamper one last wink, whirled around, and marched straight to the corrals, where the high command was waiting to begin the strategy conference. They couldn't start without me. The cowboys were gathered around the door of the saddle shed. Loper was crouched down, doodling in the dust with his finger, which seemed a little odd to me. I marched right into the center of things, which is sort of where you would expect the head of ranch security to go, right? I sat down and waited for the conference to begin. Loper's head came up. You're sitting on my map of the pasture, you idiot! I glanced around the circle of faces, searching for the alleged idiot who had... Will you move your worthless carcass? He appeared to be looking at, well, me, you might say. I gave him a smile and began sweeping the ground with my tail. Get off my map! I looked around for this map he was yelling about, and I'll be darned if I could see one. Obviously, he was speaking to someone else, yet he continued to glare at me and yell. So I, not knowing anything better to do, acted on a sudden impulse and licked him on the face. Maybe that was the wrong sudden impulse to act upon. I mean, let's examine the facts. Some guys appreciate a juicy lick on the face, and some don't. Sometimes it's just the right way to start off the morning, and sometimes it ain't. At a high-level conference, you just never know. The point I'm sort of easing into is that Loper grabbed me and threw me out of the inner circle while the others laughed and slapped their knees. Then he went back to drawing in the dust with his finger. He was making a map of me. How was I supposed to know? He redrew the pasture in the dust. I poked my head in between several pairs of legs and observed. Slim, you and Baxter take this trail up the caprock and check out the northwest corner. If you find any cattle, push them east towards me. I'll be over in the northeast corner. We'll push everything south and try to bunch them in the prairie dog flat northeast of the house. You got that? The men nodded. So did I. All right, Billy, you cross the creek and ride out the south side. I noticed a big bunch over in the southeast corner yesterday evening. Billy nodded. So did I. It was a pretty simple strategy, really, the same one I would have suggested. Johnny, you take the dog and ride down the creek to the Parnell Water Gap. There's a bunch of tamaracks and willers down there, and that's where the dog might make a hand. Turn him loose in that brush and see if he can bring the cattle out. Johnny nodded. So did I. Loper was exactly right in thinking that I could bring those cattle out of the heavy brush. That's one of my specialties, brushwork. You'll find that some of your modern-day lower-bred stock dogs won't do brush work. For example, you hear a lot of these blue heelers nowadays complaining about thick brush. They don't like it. They'd rather sit in the back of a pickup in front of the coffee shop and growl at everyone who goes in and out. I never had much use for the coffee shop crowd myself, and heavy brush has never bothered me in the least. As far as I'm concerned, the heavier the brush, the thicker it is. And I like to be in the thick of things. So there you are. Struck me as a little odd that Loper had assigned me to work with Johnny, a man I didn't know. A lot of dogs would find it difficult, if not impossible, to coordinate complex pasture maneuvers and command systems with a total stranger. Me? I take things as they come. Loyalty to the outfit is very high on my list. And if that means working with a stranger, hey, I'll be there, covering my territory and doing my job. Any questions? Nobody had a question. Loper pushed himself up to a standing position, and I noticed that his knees popped. I salted that information away for future reference. You never know when mere information might turn into a valuable clue. Boys, I'll be riding a green colt this morning. If the cattle make a run, you boys on the better horses, it better go with the leaders, and I'll stay back with the drag.
Baxter, will that beagle dog of yours stay in the pickup?
Oh, yeah, she's trained. She don't have much use for cattle anyway. She'll stay in the pickup.
Good. That leaves us with just one worthless dog to worry about. Benny was fixing to get himself tied up and locked up or otherwise removed from the roundup strategy. It couldn't have happened to a nicer dog or come at a better time. I had tried to prepare him for this, but some dogs just can't seem to take a hint. Come on, Hank! This was turning out to be even better than I'd hoped. I would get to watch the scoundrel take his medicine. I could hardly wait to see that grin melt off his mouth. I fell in step beside Loper and we went marching. That was odd. Instead of marching towards Benny, we headed east towards the house. Oh well, Loper had his own way of handling the worthless dog situation as he had described it so well, and I had every confidence that... We marched up the hill, past the roping dummy, past the gas tanks, up to the yard gate. Just as I had predicted, he bent over and picked up a piece of rope, some 10 feet in length, that was tied to the gatepost. I sat down and looked back towards the pickups, waiting for Loper to call the unsuspecting Benny up for his, shall we say, roundup assignment. I could hardly conceal my... Huh? Unless I was badly mistaken, Loper had just... Wait a minute, there must have been some... He hadn't even called Benny and... Hey, he had tied up the wrong dog! I looked up at him, gave him my most wounded look, and whacked my tail on the ground. He cupped his hands around his mouth and called Drover. In a flash, the runt was there, grinning and turning in circles and wagging his stump tail. Loper jammed his hands on his hips. You dogs stay out of the way and be quiet. We're gonna see a real dog in action today, and I don't want you to mess up his work. You got that? By this time, Drover was in the middle of one of his guilt spasms when he rolls around on the ground and kicks his legs in the air and pulls his lips up into a simple-looking grin and seems to be apologizing for every mistake that's been made since the beginning of time. I don't know why he does that. If you ask me, it's undignified. Anyway, Loper stomped back down to the corral, leaving me tied up and psychologically damaged.
Gee, you got tied up, didn't you, Hank?
Wipe that silly grin off your face.
Oh, okay.
The silly grin vanished and was replaced by Drover's patented blank expression.
You got tied up, didn't you?
It may appear that way at first glance, Drover, but on second glance, yes. Of course, I don't need to tell you that someone on this ranch has just made an enormous mistake.
Oh, you didn't need to tell me that.
I know I didn't, which is why I said so, but I thought I'd say it anyway.
I thought that's what you thought that's what you'd say, and I'm glad you said it anyway.
Well, I'm glad you're glad.
I thought you would be.
Do you have any idea what you're saying?
No, what?
Absolutely nothing. You're just spouting nonsense.
Well, you keep answering me.
Answers are not the question, Drover.
No, I guess not.
And questions are not the answer.
It gets kind of confusing, don't it?
And while we're on the subject of questions, I have one for you.
Oh, good. And I have one for you, too.
I'll go first, since mine is the more important of the two.
Oh, I don't know. Mine's pretty important.
I doubt that, but just to prove what a wonderful dog I am, I'll let you go first.
Gee, thanks, Hank. That's mighty nice of you.
Yes, I know. Go ahead. I waited while Drover squinted his eyes and twisted his mouth around. You'll have to speak a little louder, son. I can't hear you.
I didn't say anything.
I know you didn't say anything. That's my whole point. Hurry up and ask your question. I have important things to do.
What can you do when you're tied up?
Ask your question.
Oh, well, let's see here. It was right on the tip of my tongue, and it sure was important. You don't remember what it was, do you?
Of course I don't. How could I remember something I never knew in the first place?
I don't know, but I thought I'd check.
Is it possible, Drover, that after I was generous enough to let you go first, you forgot your question?
Well, I didn't want to say that because it might have made you mad.
Indeed, it might have. Go ahead and admit it.
I'd rather not if it's all the same to you.
It's not all the same to me.
It's completely different, a brand new category of stupidity. Did you forget your question?
That's one way of putting it.
In other words, yes, you did in fact forget your question.
Something like that.
Very well. That just proves what I've suspected for a long time. Courtesy is wasted on you. In the future, I'll save my generosity for somebody who deserves it.
Sorry, Hank. I tried.
Never mind that you tried, Drover. The point is that you failed. And I guess you realize that this leaves me with no choice but to proceed with my question.
I guess so.
But you know what? After going through all that nonsense with Drover, I couldn't remember what I was going to ask him. That really burned me up. And it just goes to prove that... Never mind. I've always loved the spring roundup days. The clean smell of the air, the jingle of spurs, the laughter of the cowboys, the nickering of horses, the way the country looks when the sun pops over the horizon and makes the dew glitter like diamonds. And me down at the corrals, sharing the excitement with the cowboys and barking orders and taking charge of things and singing the Saddle Up Overture and See Maybe. It's a real crackerjack of a song, and I do it particularly well. The tune ain't all that great, but I like the words. Here's how it goes.
Saddle up. Saddle up. Saddle up. Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up. Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Saddle up.
Anyway, where was I? Oh yes, sitting by the yard gate, tied up like a common mutt, and watching another dog take my place on the crew. Let me tell you, fellers, it almost broke my heart. Cowboys mounted up and rode out across that grassy flat just south of the corrals. They were talking and laughing and playing with their ropes. Loper's colt was feeling frisky and started bucking. Loper put a good ride on him, and the others cheered. If I'd been there with them, I could have barked, but of course I wasn't, so I didn't. Benny the imposter was there in my place, trotting along beside his master. I had to look away. Drover, this is a dark day in my life.
Yeah, but it's getting brighter now that the sun's up. The sun always seems to make the day brighter.
I've been taken off the job, removed, replaced, cast aside like an old shoe. Nobody wants an old shoe, Drover.
Yeah, they wear boots most of the time.
Of course, there's another alternative.
You bet. They could go barefoot if it weren't for all the sticker weeds.
Just because they've put me on a stake doesn't mean that I have to swallow it.
Heck no, but steak sure beats dog food.
Anything that's been roped can be unroped. Anything that's tethered can be untethered. For you see, Drover, no knot is permanent.
Yeah, and if you know not, you're just plain ignorant.
Exactly. It seems that our minds are moving in the same direction, which is the true meaning of teamwork. I guess you've already figured out what our next move will be.
Sure have. We'll just sit here and wait for Sally Mae to bring out the steak. Boy, I'm ready for one.
I stared at him. What?
I said, boy, I'm ready for one.
One what?
Steak?
Steak?
Mistake?
You're ready for Sally Mae to bring out a mistake? What are you talking about, Drover?
I'm not sure. There for a minute I thought I had it, but I guess it slipped away.
I guess it did. Are you ready to get me out of this rope?
Rope?
nose to nose with the runt.
Yes, rope. That's what we've been talking about. Untie the knot, and I'll get on with my business.
Oh, okay.
He spent 2 minutes gnawing at the knot, and also at my throat. Just the knot, Drover. Don't untie the throat.
I don't think I can do it, Hank.
All right, then chew the rope in half.
Oh, you mean just bite it?
That's correct. Pick it up in your teeth, bite it, chew it in half, and I'll be free.
Well?
He took two little bites at the rope.
It tastes bad, Hank, and it hurts my teeth.
Never mind how it tastes, and never mind about your teeth. Get on with the job. He started backing away.
To tell you the truth, I sort of wanted to go down and talk to Miss Scamper. I think she called my name.
I had taken about all of Drover's insubordination that I could stand. I had given him a direct order, and he had dared to talk back to me, which is something I don't tolerate. I roared, bared my fangs, and made a lunge at... All at once, I was lying on my back, looking up at the sky. I noticed an odd sensation in my neck, almost as though it had been stretched several inches. Yes. The clues began falling into place. Post, rope, neck. You see, in making my lunge at Drover, I had reached the end of my tether. The tremendous force generated by my forward momentum... In other words, Drover had escaped a thrashing by the narrowest of margins. Another couple of inches and I would have had him. At first glance, a couple of inches doesn't seem like much. But in the security business, I picked myself up off the ground and rolled a kink out of my neck. Get your little self over here and do what you are told. Immediately.
Oh, I think I'll go talk to Miss Scamper if it's all right with you.
It's not all right with me. I forbid you to talk to Miss Scamper, and when I forbid something, it means it's forbidden.
I know, Hank, but every now and then I feel a terrible weakness to do something forbidden.
We call that a weakness, Drover, and you must resist it. He kept backing away.
I'm trying to resist it, but something keeps pulling me in that direction.
It's your legs, Drover. Stop moving your legs and you'll become stationary.
I can't do it, Hank. My legs keep moving.
Drover, I forbid you to do anything forbidden.
Help! I'm being pulled towards Miss Scamper.
I can't help you. I'm tied up.
I know you are, but I'm not. Bye.
And with that, he went prancing down the hill. It was all coming clear now. The pieces of the puzzle were falling into place, the pieces of the puzzle. Using his tiny brain as a defense against reality, Drover had surmised that just because I was tied to the gatepost, I couldn't stop him from going down to talk with Miss Scamper. And furthermore, he was correct, which just goes to prove that a small brain is better than none at all, but in sizing up the situation, he had made one small miscalculation. For you see, he had overlooked the simple fact that I could chew my own rope in half. You might even say that, in the heat of the argument, I had overlooked this fact myself. The point is, all I had to do was chew the rope in half, and that is precisely what I set out to do. The fact that Drover had failed in this maneuver meant nothing to me, for what he lacked in intelligence, he also lacked in sharp teeth, jaw strength, and endurance. I began the procedure by loosening up the enormous muscles in my jaws. I took the rope into my mouth, opened my jaws to their fully extended position, and crunch, and then crunch again, and then one more crunch. And then the darn rope did have a bad taste. It was a grass rope, don't you see? And it had been dipped in some kind of oil. And I never did care for the taste of oil, with the possible exception of bacon grease and chicken fat, but this stuff left a lousy taste in my mouth, and there must have been something about that oil treatment that made the rope stouter than you might have thought, because what I'm driving at is that it remained more or less intact. Come to think of it, that might have been half-inch steel cable instead of a grass rope. Yes, it was. So there I was, tied to a huge post with a half-inch steel cable. My roundup had been taken over by an outsider, and my assistant head of ranch security was down under the trees talking and giggling with Miss Scamper. And the whole thing left a bad taste in my mouth. I didn't think the situation could deteriorate anymore until Pete the Barn Cat came along. And at that point, it deteriorated further. It really was steel cable. I don't like Pete. Never have. He's a perfect example of your sniveling, scheming, basically selfish and untrustworthy kind of cat. Like most cats, he's not too bright, yet he has a genius for showing up where he's not wanted. Where he's not wanted is anywhere I happen to be, because at the risk of repeating myself, I don't like him. I saw him coming down the hill from the machine shed. He had his tail stuck straight up in the air. He was purring like a little chainsaw and rubbing up against shrubs and posts and everything else that couldn't kick him away. Well, my ears shot up and my lips began to curl. Funny how that happens. All I have to do is see that cat and these processes begin to take hold. I mean, it's completely automatic. My ears fly up and the lips rise, unsheathing a set of deadly fangs. And did I mention the growl? Yes. A deep roar of a growl began to rumble in my lower throat. Again, completely automatic. Stop right there, cat. You're approaching the injury zone. A few more steps and you'll be in the zone of sudden death.
Hi, Hanky. What you doing?
I'm minding my own business, which is something you ought to try sometime.
Nice day for a roundup, isn't it?
Maybe it is and maybe it ain't. Either way, it's nothing you need to worry about.
Well, I'm surprised you're not out gathering cattle.
Oh, yeah? Well, this life is full of surprises, and you're fixing to buy yourself a truckload of them. He yawned and arched his back.
Oh, I like your new necktie, Hanky. You look good in that color.
I look good in any color.
Yes, but yellow seems to fit you somehow.
What do you mean by that? Explain yourself and be quick about it. If you mean what I think you mean, you've set a new record for getting yourself into serious trouble.
Not a thing, Hanky. Just remember, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt you.
Oh, yeah? Well, here's one for you. Sticks and stones may break your bones, but I will break your neck. How do you like that one?
That's a little crude, but then so are you.
That's right, and proud of it. He sat down in front of me, and the end of his tail began to twitch like a snake.
How long's your rope, Hanky?
I was about to give him a stinging reply when suddenly I realized what he was doing. This cat was trying to lure me into an argument. What he didn't realize was that I had been trained for this sort of thing. See, to get certified in security work, a guy has to go through a rigorous training period where the emphasis is on self-discipline. The basic idea is simple. When you're confronted by a taunting cat, you must realize what the cat is trying to do. That's the first step. Once you've figured out step one, then you move on to step two. In the step two phase, you activate the iron discipline for which cow dogs are famous. We have certain exercises to strengthen our self-discipline, but I'm not at liberty to reveal them at this time, so we'll move along to step three. In the step three phase, we engage a powerful force called laser logic. Stripped of the complex technical termination, laser logic can be described as the secret weapon dogs use against cats and other obnoxious animals. It enables us to make very sophisticated plans, see, and to stay one step ahead of the enemy. Do we have time for one quick example? Okay, take our present situation. This cat was trying to lure me into a fight. Your ordinary ranch dog would fall for this trick, in which case he would make a dive for the cat and merely prove what the cat had known all along, that the dog was tied up and therefore couldn't satisfy his desire to pulverize the stupid cat. Your higher-bred, highly trained cow dog, on the other hand, will engage his laser logic and come up with a winning strategy. Instead of falling for the cat's trick, he turns the tables on the cat and does the opposite of everything he says. Amazing. Now watch and I'll demonstrate. Okay, we've got Pete sitting there in front of me, twitching his stupid tail, which is something that really annoys me. And he says,
"How long is your rope, Hanky?"
At that point, I engage step one and move rapidly through stage two and into stage three. Accomplish the whole thing in just a matter of seconds. And instead of losing my temper, barking, lunging against the rope, and so forth, I give him a friendly smile. Now listen to this. "Why, I don't know how long it is, Pete, nor do I understand why you should care. But if you're really concerned about it, I'd be happy for you to measure it." That's iron discipline right there.
"No, but I'll bet you could reach my tail if you really wanted to."
I studied his alleged tail, which he continued to twitch. "You're exactly right, Pete. I could, but I really don't have any interest in your tail." Oh, that almost destroyed him. Laser logic. He moved a little closer, and his tail drew some figure eights in the air.
"I'm sure you could reach it here."
I laughed. It's very satisfying to reach a level of maturity at which you can laugh off all the silliness of this old world. "You're right, Pete. Back in the old days, I would have made a dive for your tail, but I've developed other interests, and I just don't have time for you or your childish games." That's stunning, absolutely stunning. He moved a little closer. He was getting within range now on that tail, but iron discipline prevailed. Good old iron discipline.
"I'll bet you can't reach me here."
"Huh? What was that? Did you say I can't reach you there?" He bobbed his head up and down.
"That's what I said, Hanky. I bet you can't."
For a moment there, I was confused. Pete had taped the turtles on me, or you might say, turned the tables on me. Either way, the point is that he had shifted, in a typical sneaky cat-like manner, the fulcrum of his attack. That ploy might have worked had I not been trained for this sort of thing. I was confused, but only for a few seconds. Then laser logic kicked in. Do the opposite of everything he says. Before, he had said,
"I bet you can reach my tail."
Now he was saying,
"I bet you can't reach my tail."
Indeed, he had shifted his strategy. At that point, when most dogs would have gone into a period of confused barking, the laser logic system took over, and I shifted into automatic. My mind began gliding through the complex calculations. The advantage of using higher mathematics and laser logic is that you avoid impulsive behavior and dumb mistakes. Also, once laser logic has solved the equation, a guy isn't burdened down by a bunch of unnecessary thinking. You just, by George, take your answer and get after it. Which is exactly what I did. It was double sic'em time. I made a dive for the cat with every intention of dividing his tail by two and multiplying that time's deadly force. He escaped by the narrowest of margins. He hissed, arched his back, raised the hair along his spine, flattened his ears, and backed away. Hey, it didn't scare me, not even a little bit. In fact, that hissing stuff gets on my nerves and makes me even meaner, wilder, and ferociouser than ever. I coiled my powerful legs under me and lunged at him and hit the end of the darn rope, you might say. I'd sort of forgotten about that in the heat of... That might have been one factor we'd forgotten to put into the... Let me say this. It's hard to keep a deep, thunderous bark when you have a tightrope against your throat. Sort of throttles the thunder down to a squeak. And while a squeak is only a squeak, it beats the heck out of cowardly silence. I barked. I squeaked. I lunged against the rope, tore up the ground, raised a cloud of dust, and snapped my jaws like a bear trap. Obviously, outmaneuvered, outbarked, and outsmarted, Pete took up a position just beyond my reach and, well, popped me on the nose with his claws, you might say, every time I moved into his range, which was fairly often. Yes, we lost a little blood and sustained a few casualties, but we expect that in an armed confrontation. Okay, it hurt. Let's go ahead and put that into the record. The nose did, in fact, take some direct hits, and there for a minute or two, it appeared that Pete was getting the better end of the deal. But then something happened that changed everything. It came as a complete surprise to Pete, but as you might have already guessed, it was no surprise to me, for it was merely phase two of my two-phase strategy. Just as I had predicted, the rope broke, and suddenly Pete's advantage turned to mush, as I not only snatched victory out of the jaws of defeat, but also snatched Pete into the jaws of destruction. You ever notice that once a cat finds himself in an awkward position, he begins scratching with all four sets of claws, front and back? He does. Once this mechanism is invoked, a normal, healthy cat begins to resemble a buzzsaw. You ever bite into a buzzsaw? In the security business, we try to follow strict dietary laws. No sugar, very little salt, a bare minimum of cholestrophobia, and no buzzsaws. Buzzsaws can cause bleeding gums and eyebrow damage. In other words, anyone with an ounce of prevention would have spit out a pound of buzzsaw, which is basically what I did because of my interest in diet and health. Diet is extremely... So you might say that Pete escaped my clutches and went streaking down the hill, past the gas tanks, through the grove of elm trees, and towards the corrals. I, dragging the rope, fell in behind him, bulldozed a couple of chickens who got in the way, and began closing the gap between us. Pete darted under the red pickup that was parked over there in front of the corrals, and I was just about ready to start tearing off tires and fenders when... Mercy, was that perfume I smelled? I lifted my nose, which was somewhat scarred and bleeding, and tested the wind. Yes, perfume. What we had here was the case of the strange perfume, and it would have been the height of irresponsibility for me to continue chasing the cat when I had this new case underway. I left Pete and followed the scent over to the next pickup, the blue one. Or was it green? One or the other, blue or green. I slipped past the front and peeked around the fender. There sat Drover? How could that be? Drover didn't wear perfume. The pieces of the puzzle just didn't fall into place until I remembered that Drover had disobeyed my orders and had come down to talk with... Oh, yes, now it was coming back. The lovely Miss Scamper. Drover grinned and wagged his stump tail.
Hi, Hank. You got some red flies on your nose.
I lumbered over to him and gave him a scorching glare. They're not red flies, Drover. They're battle wounds.
Oh, they look like...
And don't try to change the subject. You thought I was tied up, didn't you? You thought you could disobey my orders and get away with it, didn't you? How foolish of you to think that. I suppose it never occurred to you that I might break this rope and walk away a free dog.
That never occurred to me.
That's too bad, Drover, because something else is fixing to occur to you.
Uh-oh.
That's correct. You're under arrest for insubordination. Go to your room.
I don't have a room.
Go somewhere. In other words, buzz off. I have some questions to ask. She was looking down at me, her long beagle ears waving in the breeze, her big brown eyes full of adoration. And I, being a gentleman, said, hello again.
Well, hello there, you big hairy thing dragging a rope around.
You like that rope? I broke it just for you, just so I could come down here and feast my eyes on the roast beef of your face.
You have a way with words. The only question is, which way?
She laughed. I laughed. We both laughed, sharing that special secret shared by two people who laugh at secrets. I could tell she was impressed.
That's some nose you have there.
Battle wounds, Miss Scamper. Nothing to worry about. Would you believe me if I told you that you are the most stuntingly beautiful woman I ever saw?
Well, now, I don't believe everything I hear, but you might be able to talk me into that.
Tell me what I can do to make you believe it.
Drover barged into the conversation.
Hank, there's cattle coming this way.
Hush, Drover. Tell me, Miss Skimper, what can I do to convince you that my heart is in the right place?
Take it out and let me look at it.
I beg your pardon?
Don't believe everything I say, big boy. It could get you into trouble.
Oh, I see. You were joking? Ha ha! Take it out and let me look at it. Yes, I can see that that could get a guy into trouble, taking out his heart and letting... You have a strange and delightful sense of humor, Miss Skimper.
And it was subtle, too, until you came along.
Exactly. I don't know how you've managed all these years without me.
It's been a real struggle.
I can imagine. It might surprise you to know that I'm quite a humorist myself, Miss Skimper.
You hide it very well.
Hank, cattle are coming in.
Will you please shut your little trap? Thank you.
Back to the lovely lady.
Yes, I've always tried to disguise my humor behind a gruff facade, a French word meaning the front part of anything.
I didn't know you spoke French, too.
Oh, yes. French, Thousand Island, Open Gloppish, Pig Latin, Spanish, as well as several of the Kyolect diotes. Kyote dialects, that is.
My goodness, you've been a busy boy.
Indeed I have. In the security business.
Drover was beginning to hop up and down.
Hank, something's going on. The cattle are coming this way, and here comes that new cow dog.
I peered out into the pasture.
Sure enough, Benny the so-called cow dog was padding towards us. You're right, Drover. And if I were a betting dog, I would bet that we're fixing to have a showdown.
Suddenly, Miss Scamper's eyes sparkled.
Not over me, I hope.
I'm afraid so, ma'am. You and several other matters.
Ooh, this is so exciting.
You haven't seen anything yet, Miss Skimper.
I know, but I can hardly wait.
This thing could get real nasty before it gets dirty. Stand back, Drover. I wouldn't want you to get hurt.
Me too.
He took cover behind my highly conditioned body. Not a bad place to hide. The imposter came up to the pickups. I squared my shoulders and waited. Some 10 feet away, he stopped and glanced around. Perhaps, he thought, I didn't notice that he winked at Miss Skimper. And perhaps she thought I didn't notice that she winked back. But as you may have already surmised, I did. And so, Benny, we meet again. I'm not sure this ranch is both enough for big of us.
Do you suppose you fellows could move out of the way? We're trying to bring in cattle.
His eyes fell upon me.
Are those red flies on your nose, sport?
Now, as I've explained to everyone else on this ranch, those are battle wounds.
Yes, I see that now. But aren't you supposed to be tied?
Yes, I was tied. Yes, I broke the rope. No, we're not moving out of the way. And no, you're not bringing in any cattle without my permission. Any more questions?
Just one. Are you completely out of your mind?
At that very moment, and for reasons which I didn't understand, Miss Skimper nodded her head.
Because this is a roundup, you see, and we have work to do, and you really don't fit into the overall dynamics.
That's where you're wrong, Benny. I've let this thing go far enough, and now I'm fixing to shut her down. The fact of the matter is that you don't fit into the overall hydraulics.
Dynamics, I think, is the word you wanted.
I said exactly what I meant, Benny, and I'm afraid the old trick of putting words into my mouth won't work this time.
He gave his head a quick shake.
Good heavens, I thought I'd seen it all.
No, as a matter of fact, you've only seen the beginning. Now pack your bags and get off my ranch.
You obviously don't understand what you're saying, so I'll not argue. We will bring in the cattle. Your opinions on the matter notwithstanding.
I took 2 steps towards him. Benny, old buddy, let me tell you something. I'll be withstanding in the gate when you start those cattle this way. And I'll see to it that you're exposed for what you are. An imposter and a fraud.
He glanced up at Miss Skimper.
Is he joking, do you suppose?
I don't know, but I thought you boys were going to fight.
I took another step towards Benny the Imposter. That's correct, Miss Scamper. The fight will start very soon. This is a showdown, Benny. Me against you.
You understand, of course, that the cowboys are involved in this, too. It goes beyond whatever personal animosities we might have.
Yes, I understand that I'll be outnumbered 6-1. I understand that the odds are against me, but I didn't get to be head of ranch security by playing it safe.
I suppose not. Well, it appears that there's nothing more to be said.
Exactly. Bring on the cattle and we'll see who's the cowdog around here. He shrugged and then bowed towards Miss Scamper.
I hope this doesn't cause you any convenience, madame.
She fluffed at her hair.
I'll manage somehow. I've always loved wrestling.
Benny left and went back to the herd. She watched him and I watched her. Don't waste your time with that guy, Miss Scamper. If you could buy him for what he's worth and sell him for what he thinks he's worth, you'd be a wealthy woman.
Ooh, I could go for that.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I must prepare for combat.
Ooh, it sounds very dangerous.
Yes, ma'am, but all in a day's work. Just keep your eyes on me and enjoy the show. Come on, Drover, let's... That was odd. Drover had been standing right behind. I was in the process of wondering what that might mean when I heard the thunder of hooves moving in my direction. That could mean only one thing. The cattle were coming, and my test was about to begin. Fine. I was ready. Dragging the rope behind me, I took up my position in the middle of the open gate. Nothing would pass through that gate without my permission. And since I had no intention of giving my permission, it followed, through simple logic, that nothing would pass through the gate. As I waited for the lines of battle to take shape, I heard a familiar voice, the insolent whine of a certain cat. He had ventured out from under the pickup and was licking himself beside the right front tire.
Hi, Hanky. You never did catch me, did you?
There's a reason for that, Kitty. I lost interest in your particular brand of foolishness and had more important things to do than chase a rinky-dink cat around the ranch. As a matter of fact, I have more important things to do than talk to a rinky-dink cat.
Well, you should just quit talking.
I will, I did, I am. That's what I just said.
But you're still talking.
Of course I am, for the simple reason that it's not possible for me to tell you that I'm not talking to you without telling you. He looked up and smiled.
But you're still talking.
No, quite the contrary. I've made it very plain that I'm breaking off all communication with you.
But you keep talking about it, Hanky.
I pushed myself up on all fours and swaggered over to him. Are you trying to get me into an argument?
Certainly not.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. But I want you to know, Cat, that I'm not so easily fooled.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. I will not, cannot, and shall not be lured into an argument with a sniveling, insignificant, insolent, two-bit, rinky-dink cat. Because I have better things to do.
No, you do.
Yes, I don't.
No, you do.
Yes, I don't. I don't have anything better to do than...
I had somehow lost the thread of the argument, although we weren't exactly arguing, because I have said my last word on the subject.
You have?
Yes.
Oops, there's another one.
That wasn't a word.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
No, it was not a word.
Yes, it was a word.
I don't want to argue about it, Hanky.
Well, that's too bad, because... when you try to play with the big boys, you better be prepared to defend yourself.
May I ask you a question, Hanky?
No.
Good, because I'm not going to talk to you anymore.
I gave him a growl. Ask the question, Cat, and be quick about it.
Promise not to argue?
I promise nothing to the likes of you. I'll argue any time I choose. Now ask the question.
He licked his paw. What were you doing in the middle of the gate?
That simple, Cat. I was...
Huh?
I glanced to my left and saw that cattle were, so to speak, passing through the gate. Suddenly, all the clues began. I turned back to Pete, and this time I was ready to sweep the ranch with his mangy carcass, but he was sitting under the pickup, grinning at me and flicking his tail back and forth. Let that be a lesson to you, Cat. And I rushed back to my combat position. Even though I was stepped on 3 times and horned once, I fought my way through the stream of moronic cows, seized control of the gate, set up a strong defensive position, and began barking. A small number of animals, perhaps 8 or 10, had slipped through my lines before I got there, but that was a small price to pay for my triumph over the Cat. Yes, Benny the Imposter had scored a few points on me, but it was still early in the game. I barked. I snapped. I snarled. I gave them old sookies the full 9 yards of defensive strategy. In a matter of seconds, I had them milling in front of the gate. And 1 minute into the maneuver, they turned south and broke into a wild stampede. Oh, success! Oh, triumph! Oh, happy day! Single-handedly, with nothing but guts and brains and brute strength, I had foiled Benny the Imposter's plot, saved the ranch, and rescued my reputation from the edge of the brink. And best of all, Miss Scamper had watched the entire battle from her box seat in the pickup bed. I would have died 1,000 deaths to see that sparkle in her eyes, but fortunately, that wasn't necessary. Well, I had cleaned up another mess and was about to go strutting over to bask in Miss Scamper's adoring gaze when I noticed a lone horseman riding my way, perhaps to congratulate me on my triumph over Benny the Imposter. It was High Loper. He was riding hard. He was swinging his rope. He was yelling naughty words. He appeared to be... In this line of work, it's virtually impossible to please everyone all the time. Sometimes in the course of accomplishing one objective, a guy runs afoul of other objectives, and this appeared to be... Okay, let's get it over with. Loper was mad, furious, and I had reason to suspect that his anger was directed at, well, me. I began to suspect this when he came thundering towards me, shouting evil things and swinging his rope.
You idiot dog, get out of that gate!
I have said many times that Hank the Cowdog can take a hint. That's the truth. It's been true for years, and it remains true to this very day. Okay, I wasn't wanted there in the gate. Fine, I would just leave. I left, taking the shortest distance between 2 points, which happened to be right between the legs of the colt. Had I remembered that I was dragging a 10-foot rope, I might have chosen a different route, for even though Loper had threatened my life and shouted wicked things about me, I had no wish to frighten his colt and get him. It's a well-known fact in ranch circles that many green colts are afraid of ropes, especially ropes dragged between their... It's a rare colt indeed that will stand still for such a thing, and this particular colt, whose name was Jughead, did not even come close to standing still. I happened to be looking back over my shoulder and saw the entire incident. All 4 of Jughead's legs went out in different directions, and his neck somehow wrapped around the underside of his chest, so that I caught a glimpse of his moon-shaped eyes looking back at me through the corridor of his legs. An instant later, his back end shot skyward, and poor Loper, who was still shaking his fist at me, went along with it. The colt's rear end came back down, but Loper didn't. He flew out of his stirrups, arched over the saddle lot gate, and entered the saddle shed without opening the door, so to speak. It wasn't a heavy door or very fancy, made of 3/8 plywood, as I recall, and he went right through it, made quite a crash. Well,
Naturally, I was concerned. I mean, Loper and I have had our differences over the years, but still, we worked for the same outfit and certain bonds. So I stopped to see how badly he was hurt. I thought about rushing to his side and licking his face. Sometimes that helps, you know. He picked himself up off the floor and staggered to the door and looked out. His hat was on crooked. He saw me and leveled a finger at me. And here's what he said to his loyal friend and companion, the dog who had stopped to check on his condition.
Where's my gun? Bring me a gun, if I had a gun.
Well, that was good enough for me. I wasn't foolish enough to suppose that he wanted to go quail hunting at that time of the morning, so I turned south and headed for the timber along the creek. Seemed to me this might be a good time to vanish for a while. Little did I know what trouble lay in store for me. I had done such an excellent job of turning the cattle away from the gate that they had not only left the gate, they had pretty much left the country. I could see them in twos and threes, running towards the north side of the pasture, with cowboys whipping and spurring in pursuit. Actually, I hadn't wanted to throw such a scare into them. Scoring a few points against Benny the Imposter was one thing, but wrecking the entire roundup... One of the dangers of being as big and ferocious as I am is that it's hard to make a small impression. Everyone takes you seriously, don't you see? And the next thing you know, the small impression you intended to make becomes larger than life, so to speak. And as I've indicated, this seemed to be a good time to lay low for a while. I headed down to the creek and vanished in the heavy undergrowth of willows that grew along the sandy banks. This was an excellent place to hide out since the willows were virtually imponderable, implausible, implacable, impeachable. I know there's a word that just fits what I'm trying to say here. It's a big word, begins with M. And I get a kick out of using big words once in a while, but it appears that I've lost it for a moment. Imperceptible? No. Well, never mind. Sometimes big words are more trouble than they're worth, and a guy would be better off using simple language. The willows were so thick that a man on horseback couldn't ride through them. And now that I've said it, I remember the darn word. Impenetrable. That's a big rascal. No wonder I couldn't spit it out. Where was I? Oh, yes. In the imperceptible willows. Once inside the willows, I vanished without a trace. My plan at this point, to the extent that I had a plan at all, was to stay out of sight and camp out for several days until my little misunderstanding with Loper blew over and the cowboys were ready to forgive and forget. Peeking out of the brush, I saw Loper climb back on his colt and ride hard for the east side of the pasture. I could also see Benny the Imposter trying to turn a couple of cows and calves that were heading for the brush. I didn't wish him any bad luck, but since he seemed to be having it anyway, that was okay with me. I went down to the creek and got a drink, looking at the handsome face in the water and found myself admiring the nose, the shape of the head, the ears, the stern set of the eyes, the hard curve of mouth, which suggested a bold and shrewd mind at work. The hair, the massive shoulders that rippled with muscles and tapered down to feet that could have been used as a pattern for all feet. For while they appeared to be graceful and delicate at first glance, they were in fact the perfect tools of a sprinting machine. It has been said that all understanding begins with the feet, which just goes to show how important they are. Anyway, for half an hour or so, I stood by the water's edge, near hypnotized by the reflection I saw. All great works of art don't hang in museums. Sometimes you find them in unlikely places. I liked everything I saw in the reflection except the rope, which was still tied around my neck. I had no use for that rope and decided it was time to get shed of it. A It occurred to me that by lowering my jaw and moving my head backwards on its pivotal, spinal, whatever you may call it, I could get the rope into my mouth and then make hash of it with my long, sharp teeth. I tried this for quite a while without what you would call great success. I discovered, A, that it's virtually impossible to get a good biting position on a rope around one's neck, and B, if one moves one's head backwards far enough, what often happens is that one topples over backwards. So there you are. Sometimes it's easier to accept life's imperfections than to chew them in half. Having finished my business at the water's edge, I became bored and decided to move on down the creek to look for new adventures and fresh scenery. Yet I had not planned to find the type of adventure and scenery upon which I stumbled upon. As I was passing through the jungle, the end of my 10-foot piece of rope lodged itself in the fork of a willow. I tried to uproot the tree, but found this near impossible. Or to express it another way, impossible. Most trees do not uproot well. Denied this solution to my problem, I abandoned the solution, yet the problem remained. What to do? That was the question. I was in the process of studying it from many different angles when, suddenly, I heard footsteps approaching through the jungle. Since I couldn't think of anyone I wanted to meet at that particular moment, I flattened myself out on the ground and tried to blend in with the surrounding fauna and fluoride. The footsteps came closer, and then they stopped, very near to the spot where I lay, invisible to naked eyes. And speaking of eyes, I rolled mine around in their sprockets until I could see two heads suspended above me. Further inspection revealed that the heads were attached to necks, the necks to bodies, and the bodies to legs and so forth. Upon seeing the sharp-pointed noses and yellow eyes of the suspects, I said to myself, I think I've seen these guys before somewhere. And no sooner had that thought skipped across my mind than one of the suspects spoke.
We find hunk dog lying in jungle, far away from house and boom boom.
Perhaps I should intrude here to give a translation, for you see, the suspects in this case turned out to be none other than the notorious Coyote brothers, Rip and Snort. Little wonder that I felt I had seen them before, because I had seen them before. Not once or twice or thrice or thrice, but many times, and always under awkward conditions. For you see, any time a guy runs into a pair of cannibals, the conditions are likely to be awkward. These guys were terrible. Coyotes, you might recall, speak a peculiar dialect. Any dog who goes into full-time security work should be fluent in several languages, including the coyote dialect. At the risk of tooting my own horn, I should point out that I am something of a whiz at languages, always have been, even in the ancient and primitive dialect of Coyotus cannibalis. With that out of the way, let us proceed to the translation and take another look at the statement under our microscope, so to speak. We find hunk dog living in jungle, far away from house and boom boom. The first word uttered by this savage, you will notice, was the one-syllable explanation, This is one of the most commonly used words in the coyote dialect. Our studies of the talkatory patterns of wild coyotes indicates that coyotes are partial to short words. Is just about as short as a word can be. Any coyote who shortened it further would find himself saying either you or H, neither of which makes much sense, even to coyotes. Why do coyotes prefer short words? Good question. My own personal theory is that short words such as are hard to misspell and mispronounce, and are therefore popular with these miserable, lice-bitten creatures of the prairie. You'll notice that Snort referred to me as Hunk instead of the usual Hank, and perhaps you wondered why. Here we have a choice of explanations. 1. Hunk is the coyote word for Hank. 2. For unknown reasons, coyotes are not able to pronounce Hank. 3. Snort was not too bright, and didn't even know that he was butchering my name. That should cover the hunk part of the mystery. Now, let's hurry on to the last two words in the translation, boom boom and house. As I pointed out before, boom boom is the coyote word for gun. We have found evidence suggesting that boom boom has some relationship to the sound made by a gun. When fired, a weapon does not make the sound gun gun, so I think you get the point. This process of creating a word from an actual sound is called onomatopoeia. Just thought I'd throw that in. And that brings us to the coyote word house. As odd as it might seem, house in coyote language means house. That does seem odd, doesn't it? But there you are. Well, with all the technical stuff out of the way, we can proceed to the chilling, spine-tingling adventures that resulted from my chance meeting with these two bloodthirsty cannibals out in the jungle. And don't forget, because the end of my rope had snagged on a willow tree, I wasn't able to run away. Not that I would have run away under different conditions, but let us say that I would have considered it a very attractive option. On the other hand, yes, I would have run away. Of course I would have. No dog in his right mind would talk to cannibals in the jungle, for as Snort had shrewdly observed, they had caught me a long way from house and boom boom. Since they had caught me red-handed in broad daylight, I figured there was no future in trying to pretend I wasn't there. I raised my head and tried to put on a pleasant face. Well, good morning, fellers. Before we get involved in other matters, let me just say a few words. Snort held up one paw.
Hunk, not talk crazy stuff like last time.
Who, me? Well, I don't know what you're...
Rip and Snort, not like fooled all time.
Yes, I see what you...
Rip and Snort, tired and hungry. All night singing and carrying on. Not have time to hunt. Maybe we eat dog.
Dog? Snort nodded. Rip licked his chops. Already we were off to a bad start. How about a cat? I know where you can find a nice, fat, juicy cat.
Dog, quick and easy meal. And dog tied up, too. Not hard catch. Ho, ho!
Yes, ho, ho. You're referring to the rope, I suppose. They nodded. And my being tied up, so to speak. They nodded. That is, you probably think I'm tied up and can't run and play and so forth. They nodded. It does appear that way, doesn't it? They nodded. Would you guys care to hear the true story about this rope?
Only true story. Not want more crazy stuff like moon made of chopped chicken liver.
Oh, that one. Yes, I remember the night I told you guys that story, and I'll admit it was a little, that is, it contained elements of fiction as well as...
Big lie. Made Rip and Snort look stupid.
Stupid? Surely not. I mean, I wouldn't have... Snort put his sharp nose right down in my face.
Hunk, waste time. Talk quick, then we eat.
Eat? Who could eat at a time like this? I mean, it's too late for breakfast and too early for supper, and then there's always the chance that after hearing my story, you'll decide completely on your own and with no prompting from me. He showed me his teeth and growled. On second thought, maybe I should go right into my story. You suppose? All right, here we go. Are you ready for this? No answer, just unblinking yellow stares. All right. Now, at first glance, it appears that I'm tied to a tree stump, right? No response, nothing. But first impressions are often misleading. I'm sure you've noticed that, haven't you? Of course you have. Blank stares. But here's the straight story, guys. Not more than an hour ago, one of the cowboys noticed that this part of the pasture was starting to move. And I mean drift, shift, float away. You can imagine what a disaster it could be if part of the pasture just by George picked up and moved away. Rip scratched a flea on his ear. It was hard to tell if I was getting through to him. We can come back to that later if you have any questions, or we could pause here and... Snort shook his head. No, let's move along. Well, Slim was worried about what might happen if the pasture moved away. I mean, let's face it, nobody really knows what's under this pasture, so he brought me down here. I'm the head of ranch security, you see, and in emergency situations... Snort poked me in the chest with his paw.
Get to point of story, not mess around with bunch talk.
I'm getting there. In fact, I'm there already. Here's the point. Slim brought me down here for one purpose and one purpose only. To hold down this section of the pasture and keep it from drifting away. That explains why the stump is tied to me. And I'm sure you've already figured out what might happen if I were suddenly, well, eaten. But just in case you haven't, let me explain. In a matter of minutes, this entire section of the pasture could drift away, leaving a bottomless pit in its place. And I'm talking about a deep, black, bottomless pit with no bottom. I bet that scares you, huh? They shook their heads.
Not scared because Rip and Snort not believe one word of lying, stupid story.
Not even one little word? They pushed up off their haunches and came a step closer. Their glittering eyes made me uneasy.
Now time for eat, and then take big nap.
It was time for me to make a break for freedom. I hit the end of the rope with a full head of steam, hoping that it would break one more time. Only it didn't, and I did a back flip and landed hard on the ground. I coughed and staggered to my feet. All right, you've got me cornered. I'll admit that, but aren't you forgetting something? What about the ancient coyote custom of letting a captive fight for his life? Big smiles spread across their faces.
Fight? Coyote never too busy for big fight.
Exactly. But instead of engaging in your ordinary tooth and toenail kind of brawl, I challenge both of you to a series of contests that will test our skill and courage. If I win, I'm a free dog. If I lose, I'm a free lunch. What do you say? You have guts enough to put your lousy reputations on the line?
Coyote have plenty guts and not scared for lousy reputation. Elk not have chance.
Maybe so, Snort, but you've got it to do. All right, here's the first event. The rope chewing contest. The first one to chew this rope in two is the winner. Ready? They knocked each other down, taking their positions at the rope. On your mark. Get set. Go! It's amazing what a stinking, illiterate coyote can do to a piece of stout rope. Those guys took two snaps each and amputated a two-foot section from the bottom end of that rope. I finished dead last, which was all right, since I didn't care for the oily taste of the rope anyway. Cable, I should say. Snort spit the cable out of his mouth and gave me a big grin.
Ha-ha! Hunk lose pretty big!
Yes, so it appears. But I think you just got lucky.
Not luck. Win because berry tough.
Well, we'll see about that. This next event will be a real test of your... At that moment, I heard a flutter of wings and the sound of branches snapping in the cottonwood tree above us. Rip and Snort heard it too. We all looked up and saw... Not cattle, as you might have suspected, but two big, black, ugly birds sitting on a limb some 10 feet above us. I recognized them at once. Wallace and Junior the buzzards. And I can't say that I was glad to see them. When buzzards arrive on the scene, it usually means that somebody's luck has gone sour. My luck was getting better, but it still wasn't out of the woods, so to speak. Yes, I had tricked the coyotes into chewing my rope in two, but I didn't dare make a break for freedom. Not yet. Not while those thugs were still in good running condition. Wallace stuck out his skinny neck and looked us over.
Y'all go ahead on, don't pay any attention to us. We come early to make some side bets is all we done, and then we're gonna stay for dinner.
Oh, yeah? Who says there's gonna be any dinner? As a matter of fact, we're in the midst of the first annual Wolf Creek Decathlon. And although it might appear that the Coyotes have a small lead at this point,
the Coyotes have a big lead, pup. We've seen it all from the air. And, Junior, I'm taking the Coyotes and giving 3-1 odds.
Okay, Pooh-Paw. And I'll take my doggy friend.
Wallace gave his head a shake.
Son, don't ever bet on your friends or your kin folks. It causes hard feelings when you go to eat, so just play the odds and never mind the friendship. I've told you that before.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because, son, the world's divided into three parts. Heart, mind, and stomach.
Yeah.
And you should always listen to that still, small voice in your stomach. It'll never lie to you or let you down. No buzzard has ever got a broken heart by listening to his stomach.
Yeah, but he's still my friend and my pal, and we sing together.
He ain't your friend, and he ain't your pal, and he can't sing any better than I can, and I can't sing at all, but you are going to bet on him, because I've got the Coyotes 3-1.
Okay.
And I've told you over and over and over, you cut out this silly talk about being a singer when you grow up. Nobody in my family has ever been a singer, and nobody in my family is ever gonna be a singer. And when my Coyote boys win, I get first dibs on a hind leg.
I guess Snort didn't like that. He looked up into the tree and curled his lip.
Buzzard get big hurt, not first dibs.
Well, we'll just see about that, and in the meantime, y'all hurry up. We ain't had a bite to eat in 3 days. This boy of mine is old enough to be taking care of his poor old daddy, but he's such a ninny. Hurry up, would y'all please?
Rip and Snort grinned and shook their heads.
Coyote not take orders from Buzzard. Coyote do what Coyote want. Ho, ho!
Old man Wallace leaned down and stuck out his tongue.
Well, ho-ho your own self and don't hurry up. See if I care, cause we got no place else to go and nothing else to do.
Snort turned back to me and poked me in the chest.
That better. Hurry up.
I kind of hoped the argument would drag on for a couple of days. Give Hank the cow dog 2 or 3 days and he'll always find a way to get out of a jam. But it appeared that my time frame had been shortened to something like 15 minutes. This was my last chance, fellers. I was fixing to walk a tightrope across the canyon of life. And from here on, the story gets pretty scary. I took a deep breath and tried to calm my nerves. Ordinarily, my nerves resemble high-grade steel, but competing in front of cannibals and buzzards has always bothered me. All right, you guys won the first round. They nodded. Through sheer luck, if you ask me. They shook their heads. But luck won't save you in this next event. It's gonna be a test of brute skill.
Coyote not scared. Got plenty brute and plenty skill.
We'll see about that. This next event will be a contest to see which of us can sing the better song. The brothers broke out laughing.
Ho, 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 ho! Hunk lose for sure this time. Rip and Snort sing better than whole world.
Maybe and maybe not. I happen to have a real crackerjack of a song myself. You guys go first.
Hunk not give orders. Hunk go first.
All right, if that's the way you want it. You guys go second. Snort showed his fangs.
Hunk not give orders. Hunk go second.
All right, but I'll have to file a protest over this. I wanted the first shot.
Coyote always take first shot.
The brothers went into a huddle and planned their song. While they were whispering their signals, Wallace grumbled about how he wished they'd hurry up. At last, the brothers turned around. I had expected them to sing Me Just a Worthless Coyote, the Coyote sacred hymn and national anthem. I'd heard that one before, and in fact, I'd helped them sing it on a few occasions. I knew my song would beat it. To be honest about it, I didn't suppose they knew another song. But they did. This one was entirely new. It was called Daddy Packed His Suitcase 'Cause Mama Was a Mean Old Bag. In the middle of it, Rip pulled out a trombone and played a solo. Kind of surprised me. I didn't know he had that kind of talent. Well, here's how it went.
Daddy had a weakness for women who could spit and cuss. He liked them mean and ragged because he didn't care to discuss the finer points of love and eternal bliss. He had no use for tenderness. Oh, Daddy was a villain, looking for a villainess.
Yeah, Daddy, tough guy, yeah.
Well, he met our Ma at a water hole. They said she was having a drink. She was sitting in a corner and said she didn't think there was a man in the world who could tame her down. She could whoop any man in Coyote Town. Oh, Daddy said he wanted a wild cat, and fellers, that's what he'd found. Yes, sir!
Snort finished, they hooped and hollered and slapped each other on the back. They were real tickled with their performance, and I had to admit that it was impressive.
Huh! Hunk not have chance against Coyote Love Song.
Is that what it was? I guess love gets pretty rough in your neighborhood.
Everything rough in Coyote neighborhood. Coyote like rough old gals.
I see what you mean. Up in the tree, old man Wallace had to put in his 2 cents worth.
Now, Junior, that's what I call music. I don't know why you can't sing good, wholesome country western instead of that noisy stuff you do with that dog. And yes, I think we have a winner. My Coyote boys have definitely won the contest.
Hold on, Buzzard. You haven't heard my song yet.
No, but I've heard you before, puppy, and I know real talent when I don't hear it. And anyways, I'm betting on the other side, and if you ask me...
I don't think anybody asked you, and I have my doubts that anybody ever will. When it comes to music and culture, the opinions of a buzzard don't carry much weight around here.
Well, that just tells you what kind of a cheap John outfit you're running here, and just for that, I'm gonna sleep through your whole song.
I gave him a dark and angry look. But the truth of the matter was that I couldn't have been more pleased. Wallace didn't know it, but he was walking right into my trap. I turned back to the Coyote Brothers. They were staring at me with big stupid grins and heavy eyes. They'd been up all night and had mentioned that they were tired, right? I couldn't expect a fair deal in a singing contest with a couple of cannibals, right? And they planned to eat me immediately after my performance, right? Hensley, my only hope of escape lay in putting the whole bunch to sleep, and it happened that I had chosen a song that just might do it. Are you guys ready for this?
Ready for Hunk Lou's contest!
Snort chuckled and then broke into a big toothy yawn. Hold on, I don't want you guys going to sleep on me. I stayed awake through that dreary thing of yours, and you have to stay awake and listen to mine. The grin vanished from Snort's mouth.
Hunk not give orders to Coyote. Coyote not take orders from lunch meat.
All right, but I don't want you going to sleep in the middle of my song.
Coyote sleep when Coyote want sleep. Never mind what Hunk think. Sing.
Very well, Snort. If that's the way you want to be, here goes. Junior, why don't you help me on the chorus? I'd like to spiffy it up a little bit, and with your gorgeous voice and my gorgeous voice. Junior grinned and nodded his head.
Oh, boy, that would be so much fun.
All right, here we go. I turned to the Coyote Brothers and began my song. Or, to put it another way, my secret weapon for putting them to sleep. If it worked, I would live to see another day and solve another mystery. If it didn't, I would become coyote fodder.
Your eyelids are heavy, your eyeballs are aching, your tongue is fatigued and your forelegs are shaking and quaking, your eardrums are ringing, your nostrils are stinging, it seems to me you should be going to bed. Sleep, baby, sleep. Surrender yourself to the call of the deep, baby, sleep, baby, sleep. Close your eyes and start counting sheep. The notion of eating or feasting or feeding at this time of day when the whole body's pleading and bleeding for sleep is repulsive, remote, and convulsive. You really should think about going to bed. Sleep, baby, sleep. Surrender yourself to the call of the deep, baby, sleep. And start counting some guys like yourself should stop eating so much and consider your health and your waistline. And dog meat, I've read, has more calories than bread. It's a whole lot more fattening than going to bed. Sleep, baby, sleep. Surrender yourself to the call of the deep, baby. Sleep, baby, sleep. Close your eyes and start counting sheep. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 sheep, 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 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, a whole bunch of sheep. Sleep, baby, sleep. Surrender yourself to the call of the deep, baby, sleep, baby, sleep. Close your eyes and start counting sheep.
It worked! By the time we finished up the last chorus, Rip and Snort lay in big twitching piles on the sand, not merely asleep, but out of this world. And up in the tree, old man Wallace was in the same condition. At any moment, I expected to see him fall off his perch. Well, Junior, I'd say we just by George knocked him out with our song.
Something happened because they sure went to sleep.
Just what I wanted them to do, Junior. And now, if you'll excuse me, I'll just ooze out of here and vanish into the underbrush. When your old man wakes up, tell him I'm sorry I couldn't stay for dinner.
He's gonna be mad.
Yes, indeed. And you can tell him that he might as well get used to being mad, because any time he deals with Hank the Cowdog, he's gonna finish in last place.
I don't think I'll tell him that.
Whatever. See you around, Junior, and thanks for your help on the song. He gave me a sad smile and waved his wing.
Bye, doggy.
With the stealth of a tiger, I slipped into the jungle and disappeared. While the Coyote brothers were asleep, I had to put some mileage between us. They wouldn't sleep forever, you see, and when they awoke, they just might try to follow my scent. Also, the trace in the sand left by the rope I was dragging. Cable, I mean. I picked my way through the willows, heading in a northerly direction until I came to the edge of the brush. I poked my head out and took a look around the pasture. I had this problem, you see. Although I had escaped from the cannibals, I couldn't assume that the cowboys would welcome me back with open arms, so to speak. If you recall, I had been implicated in a stampede, and on our outfit, the cowboys got pretty serious about stampedes. The long and short of it was that I was trapped between two hostile forces. I had no good place to go, and yet, going no place would get me nowhere, if you can follow that. I headed east, staying out in the open country, but close enough to the brush so that I could take cover if some wild, crazed cowboy came after me with a loaded rope. I rounded a bend in the creek, right there by those big bluffs near the crossing, when all at once I found myself looking into the face of Benny the Imposter. He glared at me, and I glared right back. He spoke first.
You made quite a mess of my roundup, I hope you know.
It couldn't have happened to a nicer guy.
Yes, well, I'm trying to clean up your mess, and if you'll just run along.
As a matter of fact, if you approach me just right, I might consider helping you out.
Oh, that's very kind of you, of course, but I've seen your work, and quite frankly, I'm not sure you know what you're doing. I've noticed a pattern of non-discipline and even non-thinking, and that bothers me.
Oh, yeah? Well, I've seen a few patterns myself, and the one that bothers me most is that you're still on my ranch.
I understand how hard it must be to go from being a top dog to a bottom dog all in one morning.
I wouldn't know about that. It's never happened to me. He arched his brows.
Really? I'm sorry, sport, but I'm afraid you've lost your job to a better dog. Now, I have cattle together.
He turned and walked a few steps away. Then he stopped.
Oh, by the way, Hylopa's horse went down in quicksand, and he's pinned. You might want to help him.
What? Loper's horse? I felt my temper rising. Hey, that guy's my master. If you saw that he was in quicksand, why didn't you help him?
I am a specialist, highly trained in my discipline. I know nothing and care nothing about rescues. I was brought here to gather cattle, and gather cattle I shall. If doing rescues is something that appeals to you, you're welcome to it. Now, excuse me, I'm already behind schedule.
Before I could jump in the middle of him and give him the whipping he deserved, he disappeared into the jungle. Imagine that! A dog that was too important to help a cowboy in distress. I couldn't believe it. Well, you might say that High Loper was among the last people I had wanted to see that day, seeing as how he had wanted to shoot me the last time we'd met. But what's a dog to do? High Loper was my master, and in some ways, my friend. If he was in trouble,
I had to help him out. I went streaking down the creek, over rocks and sand, through brush and cattails. I climbed rivers and swam mountains, barked cattle out of the way, scared three rabbits out of the sagebrush, ran into two tree limbs and bounced off a big stump. Then, all at once, I saw him up ahead, maybe 40 yards upstream from the Parnell Water Gap. His colt had gone down in a wide pool of water, and Loper's right leg was pinned in the stirrup, and here's the serious part. The water was up to his chin. Well, I was the right dog for this assignment, and I knew just what to do. I made a dash to the water's edge and started barking. Hank! Help! Here, Hank! Indeed, my master was in serious trouble, so I took a big breath of air and barked louder than ever.
The rope, Hank! Bring me the rope!
Rope? What rope? He must have been out of his head, just frightened so badly that he didn't know what he was talking about. So I leaned into my task and switched over to heavy-duty barking mode.
Quit barking and bring me that rope!
I stopped barking and looked around for the rope. Rope? 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 Hey, I had a rope around my neck. By merely jumping into the water and swimming out to him, it was possible that I could... Good thing I was on my toes. Loper probably wouldn't have noticed. I hit the water with a big kersplash and swam out to him with long, graceful strokes. The colt saw me coming and began to thrash around. Loper's nose went into the water, and I thought there for a second we'd lost him. At least that I would have to dive down and pull him up off the bottom, which I wasn't looking forward to doing. But then his head came back up. He coughed and sputtered and said,
Come on, Hank! Just a few more feet! Keep coming, boy!
I did. I swam right to him, hooked my front paws over his shoulders, and gave him a big, juicy lick on the face, just to let him know that everything was gonna be okay.
Swim for shore, Hank! Go stand on the bank so I can get some leverage on this rope. My foot smashed in some mud, and I think...
The colt started thrashing again, and Loper's head went under. I didn't have a second to spare. I shifted into very rapid dog paddle mode and virtually sprinted across the water. Upon reaching the shore, I didn't even bother to shake myself. I leaned into the rope and pulled, and pulled, and pulled. At last, I felt his foot release from the mud. I staggered forward and continued to haul him towards the shore. He reached the shallows and stumbled out on the bank. He fell to his hands and knees and gasped for air. I did a quick turn, rushed over to him, and began licking him again, this time in the ear. By George, we had saved ourselves a cowboy. He threw his arms around my neck and gave me a squeeze.
Good dog, Hank. For once in your life, you showed up at just the right time.
I didn't know exactly what he meant by that, but I took it as a compliment. After he'd caught his breath, he waded back into the water, caught the colt by the bridle reins, and helped him struggle out of the mud and quicksand. Then, when we were all out on dry land, he cut off the rope around my neck.
Good thing you broke that rope,
he said, patting me on the head.
Or I'd have been fish food.
Yes, I'd known that all along. I'd had this strange feeling, you see, a kind of vision that something evil was going to happen, and that's why I had... Your better cow dogs have the ability to predict the future, don't you know? And, well, by that time the others had gathered the cattle and pinned them, and we headed back to the corrals. I marched along beside the horse. Well, a little ahead of the horse, so that I could clear our path of monsters and enemies, and also to give Miss Scamper a good clean look at, well, me, you might say. I mean, there's got to be a payoff somewhere in this life. As we rode along, Loper looked down at me.
You know, Hank, I was all set to buy that hotshot cow dog for $300, but he went past me three times while I was in quicksand, and he never even barked.
I could have told him that was a sorry dog.
And I think I'll just save my $300.
And maybe buy $300 worth of steak and hamburger for old Hank.
And buy myself a new pair of shop-made boots and consider it a heck of a deal. And for you, old pup, it's double dog food.
Well, doubles on dog food beats singles and a kick in the rear. All the cowboys, all the dogs and cats, everybody on the ranch, everybody in the whole neighborhood turned out to welcome us home.
not believe this, but somebody had called out a brass band, and it was playing marches. Grown men cheered and threw confetti and streamers, while little children ran along beside us, throwing flowers and casting adoring glances in my general direction. I could hear him talking.
There he is! That's Hank the Cowdog!
You mean the famous head of ranch security?
Yes, and he's even more handsome than I thought.
Oh, he is handsome, and so courageous and bold.
Etc., etc. As I said, I don't expect everyone to believe this report, but I feel it's my duty to record the facts regardless of the... I think you get the point. Well, once again, I had managed to raise triumph out of the rubble of experience. I'd saved the ranch, saved the boss, and saved my job. Benny the Imposter had been exposed as a heartless cad, and Miss Scamper was so impressed with my performance that she hardly knew what to say. When the Brandon work was done and the cowboys were leaving, she looked down at me with those adoring eyes and tried to express the feelings that were tugging at her heart. Well, Miss Scamper, this was just another day in the life of Hank the Cowdog. Anytime things get dull down at your place, come back and we'll show you a few more tricks.
You may be a thorn in the flesh, big boy, but you sure came out of this one smelling like a rose.
I'll always remember the expression on her face as she rode away. The lopsided smile, her eyes rolled back in her head. She was definitely impressed. When everyone else had gone, Drover and I made our way down to the gas tanks and collapsed on our gunny sack beds. I was all set to throw up a long line of Z's.
Hank, what did Miss Scamper mean when she said that stuff about thorns and roses?
Very simple, Drover. She was saying that even though the world sometimes looks better through rose-colored glasses, it's the thorns that stick to your ribs.
Oh, that still doesn't make any sense to me.
In that case, let me add one more comment that should tie it all together and put it in its proper perspective. Good night.
That's all?
That's all, Drover. When the end has ended happily, when the day is done and night has come, there's nothing more to say except good night and good night.
Good night, Hank.
Good night and...
My name's Drover.
Skiffle Myrtle Porkchop.
You going to sleep? Oh, drat. I'm kind of sleepy myself.
Triple Morgan's name of Brexit.
Please get some nice chicken bones to this guy. I'm
going to get into the heck.
I said, oh, it's got a snort, yeah.